In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come to the sixth and next to last word of Jesus from the cross, which is John 19:30. It is finished. What does Jesus saying it is finished mean to you? There may be several possible interpretations of what Jesus meant by that. One is totally wrong. Others may have some truth in them. And one is undoubtedly what Jesus meant when he said, "It is finished." Let's dispose of the erroneous interpretation first. Unlike Jesus' statement, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus saying, "It is finished," is not a lament. It's not a cry coming out of physical, emotional, and spiritual agony and torture. Jesus is not conceding defeat. He is not saying that he lost and the devil won. This is not Jesus admitting failure to complete his mission. As we'll see, spoiler alert, it's quite the opposite. Perhaps it is possible that when Jesus said, "It is finished," those watching the crucifixion took it to mean the ordeal is finally over. We know what a horrendous, painful death crucifixion is. Anyone who could watch Jesus' dying woes and not feel bad for him must have had no heart. Many of us have had the misfortune of watching someone we love die slowly and painfully. When they finally pass, there is often a sense of relief. We are relieved that the person is suffering no more. And to be frank, we are often relieved that we don't have to watch them suffer any longer. Some people get embittered by a loved one's suffering and death. They may say something like, "Jesus only spent 6 hours on the cross, but my loved one lingered in pain for much longer," implying that the person they love suffered more than Jesus did, and that that's not fair. The uncomfortable truth is that we human beings deserve suffering, and Jesus did not. Suffering is the inescapable consequence of sin for all humanity. Jesus was sinless, yet he took on all our sin. He bore the full weight of God's wrath innocently and for our sake. If I suffer, it's my fault. When Jesus suffered, that was my fault too. No one has ever suffered more than Jesus. Yes, we sympathize with all sufferers, but no one has ever suffered worse than Jesus Christ. Once I heard a critic of Christianity argue that Jesus died and got to come back to earth 3 days later. Nobody else gets to do that. So they say, God is not fair. And an unfair God is kind of a contradiction in terms. God must be all good and all powerful. Therefore, they say, God does not exist. What an uninformed, jaundiced, ignorant thing to say. That is just so wrong in so many ways. We know that Jesus rising again is proof positive that we will live even after earthly death. Moreover, we know that immediately upon dying, we will be in Jesus' presence in a glorious, blessed place. We'll say more about that next week. If God is unfair, he's not unfair in that he gives us less blessings than we've earned. God is unfair insofar as he gives us infinitely more and better blessings than we deserve, especially he gives us eternal life. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. It's God's free gift to us. As a meme in the email update we send out every Monday said a couple of weeks ago, if life was fair, we'd all hang on a cross. Some translations render "it is finished" as "it is completed." I think I see a subtle shade of meaning in that that is close to the meaning of what Jesus meant when he said "it is finished," but not quite expressing the full impact of that sixth word. From before creation, God had a plan. In Genesis, God foretells how the offspring of Mary, pointing poetically to Jesus Christ, will crush the head of the serpent who deceived her, that is, the devil, and in that way made an inroad for sin to come into the world. Through Moses and the Red Sea, God rescued his people from slavery, giving them a land to live in and a law to live by, foreshadowing our redemption from sin and gaining for us everlasting life. God established the kingly line of David, promising a future ruler who would transcend all earthly powers. Speaking through the prophets, God called his people back when they went astray and pointed to the advent of his son, the Messiah. In the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a woman. He was inaugurated at his baptism. He proved his mettle in the struggles of fasting and temptation. Jesus spoke God's word and demonstrated God's power with his miracles. He reached out to heal the hurting, to cast out demons, and he welcomed the outcasts. In the final week of his earthly life, which we begin commemorating next Sunday, Palm Sunday, Jesus triumphantly entered the holy city, Jerusalem, cleansed the temple, commanded us to love one another, and instituted the Lord's Supper. After that, Jesus was betrayed by a friend with a kiss and handed over to sinful men. He was abused and beaten. He was unfairly tried and unjustly condemned. All of his friends abandoned him, and apparently so did God his Father. I'd like to make an analogy here that I hope isn't too light a comparison to make to God's plan for our salvation, and it may have some practical value for you. When I have a lot of things to do, when I'm feeling overwhelmed because I have a lot of tasks to complete and it feels like I don't have enough time to do them all, here's what I do. I do the ones that are easier and can be quickly accomplished first, and save the harder, longer, bigger jobs for last. I've been doing that since my college days, and it works for me. I think that's because as I get things done, it builds confidence and momentum, and checking things off the to-do list gives me a sense of making progress. I feel like I'm building toward a good outcome. From the very beginning of everything, God had a plan, a program, a strategy as to how to save his world from the sin and death we brought on ourselves. Slowly, over centuries, over millennia, God was preparing the way for his son. All of the pieces of history fit together. All scripture points to Jesus. Step by step, God's plan has unfolded until everything came together and the time was right for Jesus to take the final necessary step for our salvation. But describing Jesus' death as merely the last item to check off on God's big to-do list just doesn't do justice to what "it is finished" really means. It is so much more than that. "It is finished" is a cry of victory. It is a shout of triumph. The battle just isn't over, it's won. The devil tried every way he could to stop Jesus from dying for our sins, but he could not. Jesus pulled off a dramatic last-second victory, snatching our souls out of the devil's jaws. Mission accomplished, prophecy fulfilled. The biggest event in history until Christ comes again has already happened. Christ's death and subsequent resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith, our foundation. It is finished also means that there's nothing left to do. We don't have to earn God's love. Jesus has already done all of the heavy lifting for us. We don't have to worry, am I good enough to go to heaven? Jesus has answered that question once and for all, and the surprising answer is, no, you are not good enough. But in his infinite love for you, Jesus did what was necessary for you to be forgiven, and he shares that with you. You are heaven-bound. Your worries are finished. Not only that, sin is finished. Suffering is finished. Even death is finished. Now, sure, sin, death, and the devil still run around this old world trying to scare us, and sometimes they can be pretty rough on us. But don't let that bother you. It's only temporary. In the new world, there will be no more sin and no more disease. Death will be no more. The devil is vanquished. Jesus is in the victory formation, and the clock on this world is ticking down to zero. How crazy is this? A dead man on a cross is the reason for our celebration. It's so crazy, it has to be true. God certainly has a way of turning things upside down, doesn't he? We live in a glorious paradox. Life is a magnificent mystery. What a beautiful thought. It is finished. God wins, we win. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.